Week 9, what up? We are here for the First and Sticks Week 9 DraftKings main slate breakdown for the NFL season. Of course, if you are a first-time listener, thank you for the support and thank you for hopping in. I hope you enjoy the show. And to anybody that has been listening throughout the season, thank you so much for the support as well. Would not be here without you guys. I greatly appreciate that. Doing this one a little later in the week just because I feel like this week was just insane with injury news, a ton of doubtful players, a lot of highly questionable players, and obviously a lot of guys that have already been ruled out. So we do have a mature injury database here today. This is Saturday morning, so pretty much like my final thoughts on the slate, unless Schefter drops a lot of bombs tonight on the injury news side of things. If so, tune into the Win Daily Mainstream tomorrow at YouTube. That is free. You could sign up on Win Daily Sports using the promo code STICKS, STIX, for 50% off. Also, if you do not have the betting sheet from me, it is free. It's just a Google sheet that I update each week. Please reach out to me on Twitter at STIXPICKS. That is STIXPICKS. We'll quickly go through week 8 real quick. It was a great tournament week for me in terms of using that Kyler double stack, even though it just worked out. It was insanely low owned. I kind of enjoyed the big slate for once with all the the mixed up ownership, I should say, not condensed ownership. But Kyler's like 1% in my single entry tournaments. Double stacked him with Marvin Harrison. Marv was like 1%, and Trey McBride was 3%. Ran it back with Devon Achane and Tyreek Hill. Tyreek Hill was a little bit of a letdown, but he was so high owned it didn't really care. But what did kill me was Michael Pittman. Talked about him a lot last week. Shame on me for just ever trusting anything Anthony Richardson. I know Josh Downs had a huge week, but my lineup had more salary for that, so I went with him. I went with Pittman instead of Josh Downs. I mean, Josh Downs didn't really have the volume, but he was insanely effective when he did have the football. If you played Cedric Tillman chalk and Kate Otten chalk, I know we did it in cash. I did not do it in a ton of tournaments, but if you did that in tournaments, you were probably just fine and crushed it because Cedric Tillman went off, Kate Otten went off. One of the funniest things for me last week, I called Ladd McConkey a missionary man. And I mean that in terms of like what type of play he is in DFS. Like he's going 5 for 50 every single week or 5 for 45. Last week, he goes for over 102 scores, over 30 DraftKings points. He was in the millionaire maker winner lineup. So Ladd and Ladd supporters out there, I'm sorry. He is not just a missionary man. I do think that he goes back to the 5 for 45 route this week, and that was Ladd's ceiling game, and we'll never hit it, but I don't know. I wouldn't chase it. He's a cash game play for me every single week, and that is about it. Going on the betting side of things real quick, the only two plays that I had in the sheet, obviously we went live on this this podcast going Marvin Harrison over his receiving yards, and I believe Trey McBride as well, was Devonta Smith over 52.5 receiving yards on FanDuel that hit, and Xavier Worthy. Coverage breakdown there mentioned that the best play for him was probably to get in the box, the 80 mile head at plus 150, Caesars laid plus 185, so we hit the Xavier Worthy anytime touchdown, which is fantastic. I love to see like all this coverage breakdown stuff actually come true. It is not guaranteed, but it definitely gives you a little bit more of an edge. Let's go right into week 9. We'll fly through this. I know you guys got shit to do. It is Saturday. Injuries, another laundry list. Here we go. Denver safety PJ Locke is out for Baltimore. Looks pretty clean, and they will be welcoming Marlon Humphrey back. I think that should be a massive addition for Baltimore's defense that has been struggling, especially through the air. For Dallas, Deron Bland is out. I thought that he was going to go this week. Trayvon Diggs is highly questionable. Micah Parsons is still out. For Atlanta, looks pretty clean. They will get offensive lineman Chris Lindstrom back, which is great because this is one of the nuts matchups for running backs against Dallas. Miami, both defensive backs, safety, Javon Holland out. Kader Kohou, who I do think sucks and wish he was on the field, are both out. So Javon Holland out, Kader Kohou out. Great spot there for Khalil Shakir. Buffalo looks pretty clean. New Orleans, here we go. Jamal Williams out, Bub Means out, Kendre Miller. Dude, Kendre Miller looked good for like the 5 or 6 touches he had last week, and then he hurts his hamstring again. He is out. Marshawn Lattimore out. Rico Payton, one of the backup DBs for Marshawn Lattimore, highly questionable. And Kool-Aid McKinstry, another DB to join Paulson Adebo, who's out, is out. Carolina, Adam Thielen, not going to return this week. Jonathan Brooks, it does not sound like he will make his debut this week. Both safeties, Jamie Robinson and Jordan Fuller, are out. Xavier Leggett, questionable. For the Raiders, looks pretty clean. Cincinnati, T. Higgins out. Orlando Brown out. Zach Moss out. Chargers, just the DB. Christian Fulton is out. Cleveland linebackers, Jordan Hicks and Jeremiah Osuya-Koramoah, both out. Washington tackle Cornelius Lucas is out. For the Giants, it actually looks pretty clean. They will have Tyrone Tracy, who went through the concussion protocol in like 2 to 3 days. Pretty wild. Patriots, Drake May, highly questionable with the concussion. Let's see what's going on there. I kind of like this spot for Kayshon Boutte if Drake May does play, because L'Jarius Sneed is out on the other side. And then safety Kyle Duggar for the Patriots, highly questionable. Tennessee, very banged up. Tajay Spears out. Tyler Boyd, highly questionable. L'Jarius Sneed is out, as I mentioned. Will Levis, out. Will Levis, highly questionable. I'm sorry. It sounds like it's his choice if he's going to go or not. Tony Pollard, questionable. I do expect him to play. Amani Hooker, questionable. For Chicago, we got Brisker out, but Kyler Gordon likely back, which is good. On the Arizona side, we will see Sean Murphy Bunting likely back this week, which is good for them. But on the downside, one of their best offensive linemen, Jonah Williams, is out. Jacksonville, 3 o'clock game there, like Chicago and Arizona. We got to keep an eye on this one. It is Gabe Davis, highly questionable. I think he's expected to go. Travis Etienne, questionable, expected to go. Brian Thomas Jr., questionable, I think expected to go. So we will see there. If not, like, things will open up for guys like Parker Washington. Obviously, Evan Ingram's already going to have a good workload. Christian Kirk on the IR, out for the season. So yeah, you know what's going on there. For Philly, Mekhi Becton is back. That's fantastic news. Dallas Goedert still out. Darius Slay out. So again, this Jacksonville passing game may be something to attack if they are going to be trailing points from the get-go from Philly, which I'm sure we all expect that to be the case, but we got to wait pretty late in the day to see what's going on with those receivers. Detroit, edge rusher Josh Pascal, who's pretty solid. He's having a good year. And linebacker Malcolm Rodriguez, who's one of the darlings from Hard Knocks a couple years ago, who's having a hell of a season, both out. For Green Bay, Jaire Alexander is highly questionable again. I just don't know if this guy plays football anymore. It sucks because he's been very, very good throughout his career. He's just, I don't know, soft tissue injuries, kind of like Kendre Miller. No one really talks about Jaire just like never playing, but very interesting there. Josh Myers, offensive lineman, he is out. Jordan Love should be good to go. For the Rams, Puka, it sounds like he's going to be good. Joe Noteboom practiced all week, but is apparently out. It sounds like they're going to try to trade him, which will be a big loss for that offensive line again this week. Seattle, DK Metcalf out. Noah Fant out. Abraham Lucas out. Cam Young out. It is time for my boy AJ Barner to get going this week for Seattle. I do think he's a better pass catcher and a route runner than Noah Fant already. He's just more explosive. I'm excited to see if they actually let the training wheels off and give this guy 4, 5, 6 targets. I'll be playing him in DraftKings at 2,600, but I'm sure fucking Taysom Hill will break the slate at the cheap tight end spot, but $1,000 less for a guy that I truly believe in, AJ Barner. I will take it at probably 0% ownership. Let's get into these games. First game is... what is the first game? Denver and Baltimore. Baltimore's got a 28 implied team total. Keep in mind, they do play on Thursday night against the Bengals. I don't know if this will be a massive spot for Derrick Henry. I'm assuming they probably feel like they can handle this game as a 10-point home favorite. We'll see a little bit of Justice Hill. I don't know if Keaton Mitchell was active on the roster this week. It would be interesting to see if he gets a couple touches. But this game did open up with a 46.5-point total. It is sitting there, and depending on what book you're looking at, Baltimore's a 10-point favorite. They did open at 10-point favorite, so it looks like it is sitting at 9.5. Quarterback situation here. Let's go into ownership. Both quarterbacks under 5%. I figured Bo Nix would be popular again, which should be a pass-funnel defense in Baltimore. I did mention Marlon Humphrey is back, so I don't love this spot for Bo Nix, but 5,900 for a guy that runs for 40 yards a game is interesting. Derrick Henry, I mean, we don't really care about Javonte Williams, do we? But all the running backs in this game, sub 5%, so if you want to get different in a great spot with a very high implied team total, Derrick Henry is going to be unowned. Again, I just personally worry about the Thursday situation because they do play the Bengals, and that is a game that I'm sure they're going to want to win again. Receivers, Cortland Sutton, 5,400. Great spot for him. I see right around 10% ownership. I think it'll be under. It's a really good spot for him, but Marlon Humphrey's back, so I don't love it, don't hate it, but should be a lot of volume if we expect Baltimore to score. Not paying 7K for Zay Flowers. You know, I don't know if he's going to get a ton of Patrick Surtain because they move Zay all over the field. Deontay Johnson now is there. Like, just a situation I don't want anything to do with. I do think it hurts Rashad Bateman, who is having a fantastic season. Interested a little bit in these punt wide receivers for Denver, but they just move them around so much in terms of, like, snap counts. Like, it's not technically Troy Franklin getting the number two wide receiver job. It's not Devon Bailey. It's not LaJoran Humphrey. Marvin Mims gets some snaps, too. Like, it's just a weird situation. Wouldn't advise going there. Tight ends. Mark Andrews likely. I mean, you could always play pin the tail on the donkey, see which one hits. And then the tight end situation for Denver is just an absolute mess, so we're not interested there. Moving on to the next game, Dallas-Atlanta should be an absolute shootout. I really like Dallas going into this week, but if Trayvon Diggs is highly questionable and Deron Bland's out, that is going to be interesting, to say the least. I'm sure there's just a ton of ownership in this game. We had an opening total at 51.5. It is now bet up to 52. 52.5 at some books. Atlanta laying 3. Still laying 3. I think I'd still lean Dallas, but I don't know why I still believe in Dallas. Dak Prescott, quarterback 6,300, right around 8 to 10% owned. It's a great spot for him. Should be a ton of passing volume. They refuse to be able to run the ball effectively. And with that running back depth chart, can you blame them? Like, they don't have anybody. Rico Dowdle is back. I did not mention that on the injury side of things. And 6,400, Kirk Cousins, sub 5%. You could certainly play that too. It's the highest total on the slate. I will never talk you off stacking this game. You could 3-2 stack it. You could probably 3-3 stack it if you want to. Running back side of things, Bijan Robinson is absolutely a core play for me this week in all formats. I don't think I will get there in cash. I think I'm just going to take Drake London or maybe Kyle Pitts as a pass catcher as my cash game Atlanta exposure. Not touching anything on the Dallas side of things, but Bijan's ownership is going to be right around 15%. Absolute love him, especially with a full, healthy offensive line. 8,800 CeeDee Lamb. If you could afford him, you play him. It's just so damn hard to fit in an 8.8K guy unless you're playing like Bryce Young or Gardner Minshew, which I will not lie to you guys, I was a little bit interested in, but I went to a different unowned quarterback, which I'm excited to talk about here in a little bit. But then we got Drake London, 6,700. I have absolutely nothing wrong to say with Drake London. He is fair priced in a great matchup, gets a ton of volume, and he is going to be very popular, 20% owned on the minimum side of things. I'd say probably higher in single entry. Definitely someone you should look at for your cash games, and I have no problem with you playing him in tournaments. Darnell Mooney, 6K. I have a hard time justifying paying 6K for Darnell Mooney, but he is so involved. I don't hate it. 6K, though, is just expensive. But sub 5% owned for Mooney. So if you want to double stack Mooney and London or Mooney and Pitts, because you kind of get exposure through London if you do play Kirk Cousins, I don't know. That's up to you. Jalen Tolbert, 5,100. Honorable mention. Not really interested in that situation. Tight end, I love Jake Ferguson at 5,100. 5% owned. Probably less than that. It's a great spot. This should be a game that is just completely back and forth, and he should have a ton of red zone equity. I thought he'd be 10-plus percent owned. He is not. And then Kyle Pitts just keeps getting it done every single week now. I think we're finally starting to see that offense click. And Kyle Pitts move all around the formation, especially in the slot, kind of like what they did with the Rams and moving Cooper Kupp all over the formation. But we will move on to the next game. I mean, defense is whatever. Like, we don't need to talk about defense. Miami-Buffalo. This one opened up at a 49-point total. Buffalo laying 6.5. They are laying 6.5 still pretty much everywhere. 5.5 on FanDuel, which is interesting. I did take Buffalo -120, 5.5. On Buffalo, I hate laying that much juice, but the 80 model has Buffalo as a, like, a 7.5 point favorite here, and Miami is banged up. Total still sitting right around 49.5. Quarterback situation here, Josh Allen, 5% owned. Like, again, he's a great, great spot, great fantasy player, great real life player, not turning the ball over. Like, him and CeeDee Lamb are probably the two best plays on the slate, but they are so damn expensive. 77 for Josh Allen. 7,700, that is. 5% owned, that's fantastic. 6,200 for Tua. Not really interested, but if you think that Miami can stay in this game. Buffalo's defense is pretty healthy, but like that's a 1% owned quarterback I'm certainly relatively interested in, at least honorable mention. But Josh Allen is like my favorite cash game quarterback. Just so damn expensive. I don't know if I'll personally be able to get there. Running back situation, James Cook. We liked him a lot on this podcast last week. Had no ownership in 7K. He absolutely smashed, which is awesome. I just couldn't afford him in that main lineup. I think I could have if I went Josh Downs instead of Pittman for that back and forth Houston Indy that I did want in my lineup. I don't know why I prioritized it. I just really liked that game. And I got it wrong a little bit. So it is what it is. Because it was Tank Dell was a priority last week. So I wanted to get a little back and forth and make a Colt fit in that lineup. Damn it. If I played Josh Downs, I could have afforded James Cook, who we talked about a lot last week. Devon Achane, 6,700, 15% owned. Don't love the price, but the passing game work in full point system here on DraftKings is fantastic for him. So I do think he has a high floor. I just hate that we're going to see a lot of Mostert in the red zone. No interest in playing Mostert or Ray Davis, but yeah, James Cook, Devon Achane, nothing wrong to say about them. Tyreek Hill, 15% owned at 7,300. Nothing wrong to say about him. Khalil Shakir, 5,900 at no ownership. Fucking love him. Very close to getting there in cash games. I'll definitely have some in tournaments. He is a guy that I fear I probably don't have enough of. I do think his like path to failure would be that Buffalo just beats the brakes off him, and it's a big day for James Cook and Josh Allen running and obviously Ray Davis. But if Miami can keep pace here, Khalil Shakir should have a fantastic day. Oh, let's get into the coverages. I'm sorry. I knew I was moving a little too quick. Ah, fuck. Let's go back to Baltimore-Denver. We probably don't care a whole lot about, and basically it is so spread out for Denver. Baltimore, we're not paying for any of those pass catchers. Sorry, let's go back a game here. Atlanta's going to play a ton of cover three, and they're going to blitz a good bit. Against the cover three, it is going to be advantage CeeDee Lamb. We love that. And then against the blitz, it is CeeDee Lamb and Jake Ferguson. Sorry. So love those two. And those are the two that I kind of highlighted as my favorite plays for Dallas on the Dallas side of, or the Atlanta side of things. We should see a lot of blitz and a lot of cover three and a good bit of cover one for Dallas. So against a blitz, that should be Drake London and Mooney. Against a cover one, that is Drake London. And against a cover three, that should be Kyle Pitts in the middle of the field and running some drag routes and then check downs to Bijan. So a little bit mixed up there, but a good spot for Drake London, as we mentioned. And obviously we love Bijan Robinson, and Kyle Pitts at only 4,900 is very interesting. For Miami's defense, we will see a lot of zone, mainly cover three, a little bit of cover two, and they show a little bit of man coverage to cover one there, and they do blitz. So against a blitz, we'll see advantage a Keon Coleman, I guess, if he's considered the X. So I put a question mark there, because the longer that Amari Cooper's on this team, like the more involved he's going to be in the offense. So I would not say that this is a bump up for Keon Coleman with confidence, but Dalton Kincaid against a blitz is a good spot. It is all Khalil Shakir so far this year against cover three. Massive boost for him. Again, I already mentioned I love him. When they show the cover two, should be Dalton Kincaid again and Khalil Shakir. Then against the cover one, they use Dalton Kincaid against linebackers a lot. So I like this spot for Dalton Kincaid. No one's going to talk about him, but this offense is starting to get loaded with studs to where I don't want to put all my eggs in the Dalton Kincaid basket, but I do love Khalil Shakir here. And then it should be advantage to the X, whether that's Keon Coleman or Amari Cooper. We'll have to keep watching. Buffalo's defense, pretty much all zone. Do not blitz at all. We'll see a lot of cover two. There's a slight downtick, actually, for Tyreek and an uptick for Jonnu Smith and Devon Achane. I believe Julian Hill's out, and he's more of a blocking tight end, but Johnny's been so active lately, so I don't mind him, which we'll talk about right now. We like Dalton Kincaid at the tight end position at 5K. Don't love him. Johnny Smith, 3,500 in what should be a game script where they're chasing points. I do like Johnny Smith a good bit at 3,500. Moving on to the next game, we got the New Orleans Saints going to Carolina. Pretty gross game. Total opened up at 43.5. It is sitting there, and the Saints are a 7-point road favorite here. Derek Carr will be back, which is great for that offense. In terms of coverage here, what do we got for Carolina? Pretty much just play all cover three and they blitz a lot. That is a massive advantage for Chris Olave. Obviously, this whole wide receiving core is banged up minus Chris Olave. 6,100 on DraftKings. Just absolutely lock him in. Core play with Bijan Robinson for me. For the Saints, we're going to see a good bit of man coverage. They don't blitz a lot, and they do play a lot of cover two when they go to zone. For Carolina, I said it's hard to tell. So without Thielen back, I think it should be more on the inside of the field, which looks to be Jalen Coker. But let's get into pricing for that game. At quarterback, Bryce Young, 4,400, 5% owned. I think it'll probably be less than that. I was very interested in Bryce Young to start the week just because, like, the fact I played Spencer Rattler at 4K. Bryce Young's at least started NFL games before and has thrown a couple touchdown passes in his day. Two last week, actually. It's like for 400 more against a very banged up Saints defense, Bryce Young's probably a better play now than Spencer Rattler was when we played him a couple weeks ago. So I don't hate it if it's Bryce Young. If you want to stack him with Coker at 3,600, that's so cheap. 8K for two players, you could probably afford the world. Derek Carr, 5,600. Don't mind it, especially with how banged up the running game situation is here. Alvin Kamara, 7,800 on the running back side of things. I'm seeing 35% ownership. I'm sure everybody wants to play him. This is a great spot. It is the second nuts matchup with Dallas as best team to run on there with Carolina. Chuba Hubbard, 6,500. I'm just not a Chuba guy. Not going to pay 6,500 for him. 15% ownership. I get it. Should be a heavy workload. Maybe play Chuba's props or something like that. I just think there's a lot left to be desired when paying $6,500 for him on the DFS side of things. I'd rather have Brian Robinson for $200 less, personally. But Chris Olave, 20% owned, $6,100. I'm locking him in everywhere. I will play him in cash. I will play him in GPPs. Just a great price for a guy that should get 10-plus targets no matter the game script and a coverage scheme that he should just eat up. My only issue with him is he has had so many concussions in such a short NFL career. He's got to be one of the, like, higher implied guys to, like, get injured and knock on wood, but that's my only downside with Chris Olave. Love everything else with him. Jalen Coker, 3,600. We talked about him like that. Xavier Leggett is questionable, 5,300. I would just pay for Coker if I'm punting wide receiver this week, unless it's one of those Jacksonville guys that opens up if Brian Thomas Jr. or Gabe Davis is out. Tight end situation, not really interested in Juwan Johnson. Taysom Hill, 3,800, is going to be the backup running back, it sounds like Dennis Allen is saying, today as of Saturday, so a day before kickoff. I'm assuming his ownership goes up a 1% for Taysom Hill. I am not a Taysom Hill guy, personally, but great price for a guy that's probably getting 8-plus carries and probably 3 or 4 targets. That may be the best tight end play on the board, point for dollar, but I don't know. I'm not a Taysom Hill guy. Moving on to the next game. I love this game personally most of the week. Cincinnati hosting the Las Vegas Raiders. Opened up at 45.5. It has been bet up to 46.5 at some books, but now dropping back down to 45. Cincinnati does play on Thursday night, so I was a little bit worried with Chase Brown, but now there's no Zach Moss, so maybe we get a lot more Zach Moss on Thursday. I'm assuming he will be good to go. But quarterbacks, Joe Burrow, 6,900, 5% owned. Gardner Minshew, very similar situation to Bryce Young. Like, I think his ownership will be higher than 5%. I'm seeing 6 and 7 right now with the sources I'm looking at. I prefer him as a punt quarterback over Bryce Young, but it is what it is. If you want to get that gross to afford guys like CeeDee Lamb or Alvin Kamara, then you're probably going to have to go to Bryce Young or Gardner Minshew to make it work, or guys like Coker, but we'll talk about that. In terms of coverage, for Cincinnati, where are Cincinnati Bengals in my notes? All right, mainly zone, good bit of blitz, a ton of cover three, and a good bit of cover two. Against cover three, it is Jacoby Myers. Against cover two, it is Jacoby Myers and Brock Bowers. And against the blitz, it is Jacoby Myers and Brock Bowers. So great spot here for Jacoby Myers. He is in my cash game lineup right now, and I don't mind using him in tournaments. So I am cool with everything there. For the Raiders, we're going to see a lot of cover two and cover three. Don't really play much man in a ton of blitz. That is advantage Jamar Chase against a blitz. I think this is a spot where Jamar Chase can break the slate at sub 8% ownership I'm looking at. Should see a lot of checkdowns to, I guess, Chase Brown if he's going to be the passing down backer. If we're going to see more Travion Williams, which will be interesting against the cover two. And then Jamar Chase and RB checkdowns again versus the cover three. So great spot for Jamar. Let's go to the running backs here. Chase Brown, 5,900. Everybody's going to play him. Just lock him in cash. I think you can still play him in tournaments if you want to. I have no interest in Alexander Mattison or anything Raiders running the football. wide receivers, Ja'Marr Chase. Oh, I do see 10% ownership. Okay, yeah, great spot for him. Probably one of my favorite wide receivers. If I had to choose, I would still prefer CeeDee Lamb for just 200 more and arguably A.J. Brown for 500 less. Jacoby Myers is going to be very popular, 15% owned. I do think this is a really sneaky spot for Trey Tucker. I think Cincinnati scores at will. Las Vegas can't run the football anyways, and if they're chasing points, they have to have targets go outside of just Brock Bowers and Jacoby Myers. Trey Tucker is a very interesting play in large field tournaments at 1%. Tight ends, yeah, Mike Gesicki is probably useful at 3,100. Actually, honorable mention, I think this is a really good spot for Jermaine Burton to make a name for himself. 3,100, he'll be 0% owned. He bumped up to like 44%. Snap share last week. I think he continues to get on the field, and if they're winning early, I think they continue to work him into this offense and see what he can do. I like him more than Mike Gesicki for the same price, and Mike Gesicki is going to be like 15% owned. I think Gesicki obviously is their slot receiver, but he really only gets work when they're chasing points. They were getting their ass kicked by Philly last week, had to pass a ton early and often. I just don't see that happening against Las Vegas. I think if they're controlling this game, Mike Gesicki's like 2-3 catches, 30 yards. Does he get in the box? I don't know. I think Jermaine Burton has a much higher ceiling for the same price. If you're looking at Mike Gesicki as more of a wide receiver and you play double tight end, quote unquote, in DraftKings and use Gesicki as a wide receiver, which I think a lot of the field will do, I would prefer Jermaine Burton in a large field tournament. Brock Bowers, 6K. It is what it is. Going to get a lot of looks, but Jacoby Myers being like a true wide receiver one, and he plays outside a lot too. And if he goes inside, he's got like 5 inches on Mike Hilton. I like that too a lot. Just a great passing script for a guy that's just too cheap. So I'm cool with Jacoby Myers. Chargers in Cleveland. I don't really love this game at all. I don't think people will go back to chase the Jameis points, but Cedric Tillman will probably be very popular. Let's see, opened up at a 42.5 point total. Cleveland's at home, and they are a 2-point dog or 1.5 point dog, depending on where you're looking. The total is still sitting at 42.5. Quarterbacks here, let's go into ownership. I'm sure they're both unowned. Oh, Jameis, 8%. Justin Herbert, sub 5. No interest in either of them personally. Running back side of things, J.K. Dobbins, 7K. I'm not paying 7K for him. Again, Brian Robinson is 700 less. And probably would go 300 more for Kenneth Walker, just for guys priced right around him. DeAndre Swift, 600 less. Like, that's more intriguing to me. Not playing Nick Chubb or any of these Cleveland Browns guys. Wide receivers, let's go into coverage here. The Browns play a ton of man coverage, which is heavy cover one. And then when they go to zone, it is cover three. When they blitz a ton, that is honestly just all lad, pretty much is what I wrote. We should see Quentin Johnson potentially back. DJ Chark may be activated. Hayden Hurst is back as well. All those guys get low volume. My notes right here pretty much say ladder bust. But again, I'm not playing Ladd McConkey. Maybe in cash, that's it. He's 15% owned. No fucking chance I'm going back to that. If people want to chase those points, have fun. I think this game could get just slow and gross and Chargers kind of just pounding the clock. For the Chargers defense, all they play is zone. It is mainly cover two and cover three, a middle blitz rate. So honestly, for Cleveland, since Jameis is there, they're just mixing around a ton. You would assume that they throw the football a ton because that's what Jameis does. And I think it's Ken Dorsey now calling the plays too, so should be, you know, more pass heavy. And they can't really run the football like we're used to seeing Stefanski do. So they mix it around with four solid pass catchers, that being Elijah Moore, Cedric Tillman. Obviously, Jerry Jeudy didn't go anywhere, and David Njoku. So just too hard to predict where the volume's going besides Ladd McConkey on the Chargers. Tight ends. David Njoku, 5,500, 15% owned. You guys can have that. Not playing Will Disley or Hayden Hurst. Moving on to Washington at the Giants. Opening total 44. It is sitting there. Commanders opening favorite of 4 points on the road. It is sitting there. Let's go to the quarterbacks. Jaden Daniels, 2% owned. Very interesting for me. I'm playing him in cash, actually. I just want a rushing quarterback. It's either him or Josh Allen. Right now, my lineup can afford both. But I get a little bit better defense if I go to Jaden. I'll probably just play Jaden and call it a day. He's been a cash game staple for everybody all year long. I don't know why his ownership would be so low. It is a rather tight spread, and I think the Giants can keep this one close. Daniel Jones, 5,200, 8% ownership. I think he'll be pretty popular. You know who he's throwing to. It's Darius Slayton, Wandell Robinson, and a ton from Malik Nabers. On the running back side of things, I have no interest in Singletary or I don't hate Tyrone Tracy, but I just worry about the whole concussion thing. But somehow he passed it already. But Brian Robinson Jr., I'm seeing 1% ownership. Fuck, that is sexy. So I'm very interested in Brian Robinson Jr. On the defense side of things with coverages. For the Giants, we will see a, you know, above average blitz rate, heavy cover three, and if they play manage, just strictly cover one. Obviously, that is advantage for Terry McLaurin and Zach Ertz. Pretty much the only two guys he throws to anyway. For Washington, we'll see a ton of man coverage and a good bit of blitz. And when they go to zone, they'll play some cover two. So it is advantage Malik Nabers against the blitz, advantage Malik Nabers and Wandell Robinson against man coverage, and advantage Malik Nabers and potentially checkdowns to the running backs against cover two. So guys that have checked every single coverage box that I'm looking for in their prospective matchups, Malik Nabers has done that. Ladd McConkey has done that. I guess Khalil Shakir's close to doing that. 3 out of 4. CeeDee Lamb done that. Arguably Drake London has done that. Ja'Marr Chase has certainly done that. And then Jacoby Myers has done that. So good company there for Malik Nabers. Love him at 7,500. He will be very popular. Probably a cash game and tournament staple for me. So I think right now my core plays are Malik Nabers, Bijan Robinson, Chris Olave. I need to get you some value, so we got to figure that out. I would say Jalen Coker or potentially my boy A.J. Barner at tight end. Just punt tight end for Seattle and call it a day. Tight ends here, I'm not really interested in Zach Ertz. If you're stacking this game, you can do that. But Zach Ertz for 4,300, he's a missionary guy unless they're chasing points. So I'll say it again and watch Zach Ertz go for fucking 20. Shove it down my throat. New England, Tennessee, we're going to say fuck that game. Make an executive decision, a total of 38. Tennessee's a 3.5-point favorite. So many injuries in that game. Honorable mention, Kayshon Booty. I think that guy's awesome. Let's go to the afternoon. Chicago going to Arizona. Opened up as a pick'em and a 44-point total. It has been bet up to 44.5 everywhere, so just a half point of movement. And Arizona is now laying 1, 1.5 to 2 points. I like the Bears outright in this game. But let's go to quarterbacks. Kyler Murray, 3% owned, 6,600. Don't love this spot for him. I do respect the Bears defense, but they do have some injuries they got to worry about. I do like Kyler Gordon coming back. 6,100. Here is my GPP quarterback this week. I'm going to Caleb Williams, 1% owned. I love picking on Arizona's defense. That's why I kind of stacked this game. I know I used Kyler last week, but it was my 3-2 stack with two Miami guys on the other side. And DeAndre Swift at the running back position looks like he is going to be right around 15 to 20% owned. No one is going to play the passing game for the Bears. Caleb Williams sucks when he's getting pressured. I think it's his completion percentage against pressure rates. High pressure rates is like in the 30%. Arizona is like the third worst team in creating pressure against opposing quarterbacks. We should finally have a clean pocket for Caleb Williams. I think this is a field day for him. Or a potential field day, like an assumed risk I'll take in GPPs at 1% ownership. He still runs for 25, 30 yards a game. Like, there's a lot of upside here. If the Cardinals can score, I worry that they just run a ton of clock with James Conner, because you do need to run on Chicago to beat them. But if Caleb can get it going at 6,100, I love this spot for him in tournaments if no one's going to play him, which no one will. Running backs, DeAndre Swift is in my cash game lineup as we currently sit on DraftKings at 6,400. James Conner, 15% owned as well. Good spot for him. It is a probably very busy week for James Conner. I would assume like 22 touches minimum, assuming Arizona has watched film and be like, really the only way to beat Chicago. I mean, you could beat Chicago many ways. They'll beat themselves. We saw fucking last week, but you can beat them just carving them on the ground. A wide receiver, I'm going to stack DJ Moore with Caleb Williams, and that stack will probably be combined 2% ownership, and I'm probably playing a lot of chalk elsewhere because I mentioned Malik Nabers core play, Bijan Robinson core play, Chris Olave core play. I can afford DJ Moore. I can afford Caleb Williams. I'm going to do it. I would not necessarily advise it, but I don't know. DJ's got to get going. The books really respect him this week, which is very interesting for me. And usually we see like a 204-yard passing prop for Caleb Williams. This one's up in the mid-220s. I usually take note of that. That is a big boost for what we see on a week-to-week basis. They should be able to fucking kill Arizona here. I just hope that Kyler and company can keep it close. When you guys got guys like Marvin Harrison Jr. and Trey McBride and James Conner. I'm assuming this game should be close. It is a pick 'em, right? And the total is relatively respectable at 44.5, 45 points. Arizona's defense, little to no blitz at all. Like we said, they just don't pressure. And heavy cover three and a good bit of cover four. That is a massive boost to DJ Moore and only DJ Moore. Maybe a slight uptick for Cole Kmet based on the data that I've collected and kind of watched a lot of the film because I was very interested in this game. But DJ Moore is one of those wide receivers that checks every box I'm looking for Chicago. They mainly mix up a bunch of zone coverage, heavier on the cover three side, little to no blitz. Trey McBride against the zone. So got to love Trey McBride. He's just been fantastic getting it done. I think he's only got one or two, maybe fucking, he's got no touchdowns. That's wild. This dude's awesome and still hasn't scored a touchdown. So if you got Trey McBride in fantasy, hold tight. Like, it's got to bounce in his direction soon, the touchdown variance, and he's just getting so much workload. Love Trey McBride. If I'm bringing it back with anybody in this game, it is Trey McBride. But yeah, Caleb Williams, as of yesterday, I had no interest in him. Last night, I was like, oh, fuck, like, Caleb's my guy then. If they don't pressure, once I looked at that and saw 1% Caleb, I'll do it. It's gross. It's a loaded slate. You got to keep up with guys like Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Dak Prescott in the great game. Joe Burrow. Jaden Daniels. Like, I don't know if Caleb can keep up with those guys, but he does run a little bit, so I get that variance in my favor. Jalen Hurts, obviously, is on the slate. Like, that's what we'll talk about now. But, yeah. Just being transparent with you guys, that is my GPP quarterback right now. It's Caleb Williams. I don't see that changing. Next game, we got Philadelphia Eagles hosting the Jacksonville Jaguars. A mess of injuries on the Jacksonville side, as we saw. They even traded Cam Robinson, one of their best linemen, which, very interesting move. I guess they're just kind of punting and maybe trying to rebuild. Philly is a 7.5-point home favorite here. Total opened up and is sitting at 45.5 points. I have nothing wrong to say about Jalen Hurts. His price is 7,800. I would rather have Josh Allen. I just don't see how Jacksonville can really score here. Trevor Lawrence, 1% owned. If you want to get weird, that is a great game script for Trevor Lawrence. 5,600, fair price. Running backs, Saquon Barkley is in a great spot. Jacksonville has just gotten worse against the run every single week. And we know Philly wants to run the shit out of the football if they get a big lead here. You know, being a 7.5, 8-point home favorite definitely spells that game script being very possible. Tank Bigsby is questionable. ETN's questionable. So no interest in those guys. ETN's 5,900, though. That is interesting. If we want to see more check down work, you could certainly 3-2 stack this game. Like, I don't know if you can afford it, but Jalen Hurts, Saquon, and AJ Brown, run it back with ETN and a pass catcher for Jacksonville. I don't know. I've seen weirder lineups win the Millie Maker. So just being up front with you, but AJ Brown probably has the best coverage report. I know DJ Moore, you know, CeeDee Lamb, like, all these guys check every single box, but Jacksonville plays a ton of man coverage. I don't know why they don't have the personnel to do it. And then they show cover two when they play zone. They don't blitz at all. When teams don't blitz, AJ Brown gets a massive target share boost. When they play man, AJ Brown gets a massive target share boost. And against cover two, it should be a spot for the tight end in Kellen Moore's offense. That's Grant Calcantara this week, so I don't hate it. But A.J. Brown against a high man rate should just fucking destroy these guys. So I like him. Just worry if it's not a ceiling game for him. But in cash, he's certainly viable. And in tournaments, I won't talk you off it either because he can certainly go for 120 and two. Eagles defense don't blitz much. They mix up their coverages a lot for Jacksonville. I'm not even going to mention it because a lot depends on Brian Thomas Jr. being back. And we'll see what happens there. Tight ends, I mentioned, you know, Grant Calcantara. Evan Ingram's always going to get his, so 3% ownership for a very affordable Evan Ingram. You can kind of look at Evan Ingram like a wide receiver in terms of, like, where his player props are at, what he does on a weekly basis, especially with no Christian Kirk. So I'm fine with Evan Ingram. Grant Calcantara, 3,400, should have a bump up, like we said, against that cover two when Jacksonville shows it, but I'm not playing him. Moving on to the last two games. Detroit at Green Bay opened up at 47.5, bet up to 48, 48.5 at some books for the total. Detroit is laying 2, 2.5 on the road. Circa's got Detroit laying 3. I like Green Bay getting 3 here. Jordan Love is going to play. Let's go into the quarterback situation here. 0% ownership, Jordan Love. 7K, though, coming off a groin injury. I'm not paying that. Jared Goff, 6,500, not paying that. Just doesn't pass enough for me, but he is very effective when he's throwing the football. Jahmyr Gibbs, 7,600. so fucking expensive for a guy that shares so much time, but he can blow the doors off the slate anytime. We saw it last week, like a 75-yard touchdown run. Luckily, he didn't get in the box again and break the slate. But yeah, nothing wrong to say about him. Josh Jacobs, we talked about the injuries for Detroit's defense, and obviously no Aiden Hutchinson for the rest of the year. Like, their defense is struggling mightily. David Montgomery, 6,500, 2% owned. I like him a ton. I'd rather have David Montgomery this week than Jahmyr Gibbs just because of $1,100 difference there, but no running backs in this game will be owned. It's got a high total. If you want to stack this one up and get different in GPPs, you may have a great path to success there. Coverage, Pack pretty much just play zone, heavy cover three, maybe a little bit of cover two. As advantage, Sam Laporta and Amon-Ra St. Brown. They do not blitz like they used to, so I don't love Amon-Ra St. Brown because I love him against zone blitz, but it's Amon-Ra St. Brown in a high total game. You could certainly play him. And again, you could stack this game up and get way different and make a ton of money this week if it goes off. Jaden Reed, 6,400, no ownership. Romeo Doubs, 5,700, no ownership. I think everybody's kind of waiting to see how good to go Jordan Love is, but it sounds like he's playing. For Detroit, a ton of man coverage, ton of blitz. And honestly, right, I wrote now, it depends on Jordan Love's status, but I have a hard time handicapping the Packers offense, but this should be a great spot for, honestly, Christian Watson against the blitz in the cover one and Jaden Reed against cover four. So I like Christian Watson at 5K flat, 0% ownership. Don't hate it, but I fear that I will be severely underweight on this game. But we do have some potential weather concerns in Green Bay too, so check out that. Tight ends, honorable mention, Sam Laporta is fine. No ownership there, and he's sub 5K finally. And Tucker Kraft, I'm good. Unless you're stacking that game, then I won't talk you off of it, but again, I'm letting you know what I'm doing. I'm not saying it's right or wrong, but I'm severely underweight on that game. Let's go to the final one. Seattle hosting the Los Angeles Rams, 48.5 point total. Bet down to 48 at most books right now, 47.5 at FanDuel. So some discrepancy there. I think some potential weather is in the air there too, so maybe people are waiting on that. The Rams opened up as a 1-point road favorite. It is sitting at 1.5 pretty much every book. Some books have won, if that matters to you. Should be a decent game. I wish DK Metcalf was playing, though. Geno Smith, 5,800, is going to be very popular. I'm seeing over 10% ownership. Matt Stafford, 5,700, no ownership. With Puka and Kupp and Kyren all healthy, I think this is a great spot for Matt Stafford. But Seattle's defense is pretty healthy, too. And no Joe Newboom hurts the Rams' offensive line. Running backs, fucking love Kenneth Walker here at 7,300. I fear I can't afford him with the lineup that I'm building, but I will certainly have like secondary lineups that are built around Kenneth Walker. I love playing running backs against the Rams. Kyren Williams, nothing wrong to say about him. He's 8K, but he's 20% owned. Cash game, honorable mention, I'm not paying 8K for Kyren Williams in tournaments. Wide receivers, all right, Seattle. Good mix of man and zone. Honestly, it's mainly just cover one and cover three. It is going to be advantage Cooper Kupp against cover one and a good advantage to Puka against the cover three and any other zone schemes that Seattle may throw out there. So it's hard to pick which one. Maybe you just double stack Stafford and think this is a ceiling game. I do think Seattle tries to slow this game down a little bit and just run Kenneth Walker and Zach Charbonnet into the ground. But we'll see what happens. Jackson Smith, the Jigba, has insane player props right now, 6,200. Like, if you're just taking Vegas props, equating them to fantasy points, Jackson Smith, the Jigba, is like a top 10 value on this slate at 6,200. I have nothing wrong to say about them. The Rams do play a ton of cover three. They don't really blitz. Honestly, with DKM out, it's going to be advantage Kenneth Walker in the passing game. Like, they check down a ton against zone and Jackson Smith, the Jigba. Player props also love Tyler Lockett, but it is what it is. Just, I don't know. I fear this game I'm underweight on too. I should just go, like, in lineups I'm not playing Caleb, I'm probably just going to go the early only slate and avoid this afternoon variance personally, because I do love a ton of guys in that early only slate. Tight end, we talked about Noah Fant being out. I truly believe in A.J. Barner. I think this guy's like 6'6". Let's see how tall he is. A.J. Barner. How tall are you? 6'6", and he's fast. I'm telling you, every time I watch Seattle games or Seattle film, like, he sticks out. Why do they not get him the ball? They got to use him this week, especially if the Rams score. I think it's a good spot for A.J. Barner at 2,600. He may put up 4 points, though. So forewarning, if you are not comfortable taking a really risky but assumed risk, I just believe he's a really good player. Colby Parkinson, 3,700, no interest. But that will do it for me this week. Please check out the Win Daily Show tomorrow. Check out DJ's article. Check out everything Tony's doing with the props. Like, he has been on fire. Check out our game by game. Like, everything on Win Daily so far has been fantastic in the football season, which is really what we're known for anyway. Check out the 80 model at windailysports.com. Promo code STIX. That is STIX. Follow me on Twitter if you don't already. It is at STIXPicks, STIXPICKS. And if you don't have that betting sheet, please reach out to me, and I will get that over to you so you can check that out on a weekly basis. But good luck to everybody this week, and thank you so much for the support.